Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday, September 3rd, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. Welcome, everyone, to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. And I want to give an especially warm welcome to Sri Kadavji. Sri Kadavji is the leader of this very ancient teaching, and he is known as the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Srosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening, and welcome.
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing quite well. Thanks very much. Now, I know that, as we always mention, we've been doing this show for many years. There's hundreds of shows in our archives. So we try to cover some of the very basic, many of the very basic fundamentals of the teaching. But Sri Kadavji always manages to bring in some higher esoteric aspects and enlightenments that we've never heard before. And with that, I would like to ask you, Sri Kadavji, is there any particular place that you'd like to begin this evening in talking about this very ancient spiritual path?
Oh, I'm sure that by even mentioning the idea of some new wisdom, people are probably curious why that takes place. And simply the factor that each individual on this show tonight has a unique wisdom that they can offer to the discussion, if you will, about the ancient science of Sahaji. Therefore, it's something very fundamental. The wisdom is unique within each individual. Maybe not everyone understands that everyone's unique and different, but that's true. And then we wonder, why is that the situation? Well, then we can segue into the path of ACOTA. When we talk about the soul, the essence of man, being the light and sound within each one, and that's a unique spark of God, as we call it, a spark of divinity, albeit we're not a religion. ACOTA is a way, path, teaching, or science, with individual prefacing each one of those words. So this individual teaching would portray this unique individual wisdom that we all have. I just have the opportunity as the living Srosha Master, leader of the path, to explain my unique point of view, which is not really necessarily any more wisdom-like than anyone else. It's just it is wisdom. I mean, that of itself is wisdom in itself. So we've got a play on words tonight insofar as maybe another unique aspect from the Srosha, we call it the spirit Srosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. The higher Sanskrit words will have those combination of the letters S-R and S-V that we may not have in English. I don't think there's any English words with those, that contraction, or not contraction, but that combination of letters. But the idea of the higher Sanskrit is that we have these, what is called sometimes the foreign words, ACOTA, Srosha, Akshar. Akshar is the name for God, and they're not understood in English. All right, and the reason why we use those is they have a higher vibration. There's a higher feeling that is instilled in that language because it's not really a language of logic. Is really the language of the child when they're born in this world. So it has a high vibration and more of a feeling attributed to it than the logical patterns of people's native languages. All native languages in the earth region are logical, antithetical languages, whereas the higher Sanskrit is a synthesis language, and as I said before, is more prone to having a feeling connected to it or a higher vibration. When we say the word ACOTA, there's a higher vibration than to say spiritual teaching or something in a more English vernacular. So that's probably the beginnings tonight. Usually I start out with explaining the short definition the ancient science of Sahaji, which is very important. Sahaji is the higher Sanskrit word for out-of-body travel, spirit or Srosha travel, the movement of the individual's soul, that spark within, that moves on the ethers or the plasma of the inner, if you will, that we call the Srosha. And that, again, is the, we can hear it as sound, we can see it as light. Light's talked about often in the scriptures, but not the sound current. Sound current was lost many hundreds of years ago in the written literature of man. And then it was always left to myself as the living Srosha master, or one in the lineage, a long lineage of masters that hold a position. And it's left to us to keep that sound current viable and pure, so that people are aware of the sound. It doesn't get lost. In other words, the only reason why it would get lost would be because we can't talk about it. It acts as persecuted because of the lower world demon, who is known as the Kalaranjan. In religions, they call it the devil or Satan is another name for it. But they have this negative force that's in the lower planes, keep the purity of the sound current from being taught. So therefore, it's really the first communication or the first idea that's taken away from the marketplace, I'll say, in order to maintain the lower regions. So the lower regions are really a concept of the fact that there's polarity, a negative and positive. If it wasn't there, everything would be pure spirit. And don't ask me why God wants to keep it there, because I do get asked that a lot. Well, why does Akshara maintain the lower regions? And I say, well, the best I have to offer with that is it's a lesson ground to learn to get back to the higher planes, because for millions of years we've been incarnating, and we do talk about karma and reincarnation on the path, and because of that, we have to go through the myriad of incarnations and then find our way back. In the beginning, it was just a matter of the essence being separate from the central God that we call Akshar. It's like a spark of divinity that gets spun away from the center, but it has a consciousness. You see, this idea that religions talk about, that we lose our consciousness and merge into the supreme deity, is a falsehood. We have what is known as the glimpse of the divine. We call it that's a G-O-D acronym that is very well known in other teachings. People are bandy around the word God all the time, but they don't realize it's really an acronym for a glimpse of the divine. At one time it was G-O-T-D with the article "the" being in that phrase, but it was taken out because it was hard to pronounce. Hard to pronounce. So they took it out, and you have glimpse of divine. But that's what it meant. Okay, it wasn't really a term for the supreme deity. And we know that, and people can argue that point also, because there's lots of names for God in religions. Like I know they call it Yahweh, and I think in the Jewish or Catholic or Christian faith. But they have many, many, many names for God. But the sanctioned one that we use, that's approbated by the living Srosha master at the time, is called the Akshara, A-K-S-H-A-R. So that's the one that we use, but you can call it what you want. But G-O-D is really, you can only get a glimpse of that Akshara. You can't become it and be the central God for eternity. That's ludicrous, because we all have a state of consciousness that is a part of that supreme deity. At the present time, I am the voice of that supreme deity. It doesn't make me God, per se, but as a living Srosha master, I carry what is known as the rod of power and the voice of that particular supreme deity. Now, I know that upsets a lot of people, and that's fine, because we're not really trying to appeal to everyone. We often talk about appealing only to 1% of the population to 1 in 100, you see. So that ready soul doesn't have a problem with the ideas of riddles and misunderstandings. They don't know exactly what I'm talking about, and it's not a difficulty. They understand and get it, as they say in the nomenclature these days. So that's why when we are public, the Living Inspiration Master purport, his speaking and his lectures and discourses and what have you, are understood by that ready soul. And the ready soul is one who has their karma at a point that they can recognize this powerful teaching we call Akata. And that's really the simplicity of the teaching, is to find that ready soul and bring them back to the higher planes, to the Supreme Deity, or what we know as God, the God in Akata. Now, again, when we talk about God, a lot of people say, well, Akata is a religion. And say, well, it's not, because no one really has an exclusive on the Supreme Deity. Like I said before, I think there was a computer that my teacher was talking about years ago that crashed after like 9 billion names of the Supreme Deity at one time. So you can call it what you want, but the factor still remains that there has to be a representative of it, and it has to have a direct way. There can't be many, many roads leading to heaven. Remember I said last week, all roads might lead to Rome, but not to heaven. I don't think I've ever heard that before, except myself saying it. Maybe somebody's going to send me a bunch of emails and say, oh, it's said here by Shakespeare or Alexander the Pope or some great Emily Dickinson or somebody. I don't know. Nevertheless, I think it's very amusing because they think all roads lead to heaven, and that's not true. You have to get there directly, and from my understanding, my experience, and over the many years I've been on this path, over 40 years, it's always worked for me, and it's worked for others too, as well as being the direct path to the higher planes. And I think that's a very important part of our teaching, is that one can get spiritual liberation, and we have many people that can testify to the fact of doing that. We have many masters on the path. We talk about the three goals of true self-realization. It's really self-realization, but nowadays in the marketplace, they have a lot of these motivators that talk about self-realization, bandy it around very loosely, but they really don't know what that means. It means really to identify oneself as soul, but have a very definite experience in their life and not just talking about it. We don't talk about the experiences. We actually have them, and that's, well, I mean, we can talk about them, but we actually have them as well. It's not just a bunch of thought and ideas, per se. And then maybe you can probably talk a little bit more about the next two goals, and then Leslie, take us to the contemplation that you do so well. I appreciate that.
Well, the second goal is God-realization. And what this means is we have an understanding of ourself, our connection to God. We actually, and as Trikotachi said, we call God Akshar. So when people are normally, in generic sense, referring to God, they don't realize that they're referring to the God of the lower worlds, who's actually called Kalnaranjan. So the Kalnaranjan is in charge of the lower worlds, of the positive and negative. But when you get above the fifth plane and above, it's all pure positive spirit. And that, and when we're speaking about Akshar, and so I just want to say, when we say God realization, it's a realization of Akshar and our connection to Akshar, and we start to get an understanding of what we're going to be doing more particularly within the universe, the spiritual universe, because everyone has a job in the spiritual universe. So it's very important to know that, and it's something that we learn about as we become more unfolded, we gain more further initiations, become further unfolded. So what I wanted to say after that is the final goal that we're really looking for is spiritual mastery, and that's reached in the 10th plane. So then we really do have a great understanding of ourselves in relationship to the Akshar, and we actually do know at this point what we're doing in the universe and what we need, not just this lifetime, but beyond this lifetime. And as Sri Kadapshi may have said earlier, we don't necessarily come back and reincarnate any further. We have the choice once we're on this path and we've received our second initiation. We have the choice of whether we want to come back and reincarnate. So many times people decide that either they're going to stay in this world, in this body, and achieve superannuation, a greater longevity than most people can experience. So that's one choice that we can make. Another choice is if we do decide to translate at some point, then as spiritual masters, we'll be working on the inner planes. And there are jobs for spiritual masters, so they can be guardians of the inner temples, the temples of golden wisdom on the inner. There's many things that they can do and operate within the universe. So now I did want to say this, when this is our ultimate goal, but spiritual unfoldment does not stop with spiritual mastery. Beyond that, we're constantly unfolding, we're constantly gaining further initiations. It is infinite. So that's what's very, very important about this path is one, we don't try to make people followers on this path. We want people to become spiritual masters in their own right. That's often achieved within this lifetime if they desire to do that. And secondly, they are in charge of what they're going to be doing within the universe. So I just wanted to mention that. Did you want to add anything to that, Sri Kadapshi?
Well, I would like for you to take us through a contemplation now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did ask me that, and I apologize for not doing that. So the contemplation exercise is something that we do daily, and it's very, very important to us because this is what propels our spiritual unfoldment. This simple exercise, and we only have to take 30 minutes a day to do this. This simple exercise balances us, centers us, and makes us unfold at a higher rate, at a faster level, and brings a lot of enlightenment to us during the contemplation and actually all through the day because of the contemplation. So when we do the contemplation at home, what we do is close our eyes. We're sitting in a comfortable chair, either in our feet in Kala fashion, Indian style as it were, or with our feet flat on the floor, whatever is most comfortable. We want to be someplace as quiet as possible. Perhaps that's further away from the refrigerator noise or the traffic outside. If you can't get away from it, then you certainly can use earplugs to make it as quiet as possible. Because
Can I interrupt? In other words, you don't want to contemplate in the kitchen, right?
Right, correct. Not in the kitchen. That would be difficult. So anyway, we're sitting down comfortably. Our eyes are closed. We're putting our attention on the crown chakra, which is that spot on the top of the head, which is often called the soft spot where babies come in, where the soul comes in when a baby is born. And it's the highest chakra, and that's where we want to put our attention there. And so we put our attention on the crown chakra. You can take a deep breath or two to relax. And then we're going to chant the word hue. And the reason we use the word hue is this mantra is one of the highest mantras that you can use. The vibrations are so high, it will completely dissipate any kind of negativity, whether you're using it within yourself or using it outside. And I've certainly used it in all situations, and it does completely rid any kind of negativity that's in the area, or can really help alleviate a negative situation by putting your attention on it. And we'll put our attention on the word hue, and we'll put our attention on the crown chakra and chant the word Hue. Now, there's just, before we do just a real brief example of this contemplation, I want to say there's different experiences you can have. You might see the light of spirit, the Sarosha, which is seen as a white light or a yellow light. You might also see different color lights, which are the lights of the lower planes, the colors of the lower planes, and they each have a color that's specific to them. So you would know where you were traveling in Sahaji, in soul travel, if you see a certain color light. You might also see a blue light of the inner master, and that might come as a little bit little star that comes in it comes out in front of you. It's a sparkle is the best way I can describe it. And then also you might hear the sound current, which can be heard as a high-pitched electrical sound, and this is a sound of Sarosha, of spirit. And you might also hear one of the sounds on the various inner planes. For instance, on the soul plane, you hear the single note of a flute. On the seventh plane, which is called the Alak Lok, you might hear a deep humming sound. On the tenth plane, you might hear the sound of a whirlpool. Each has a different sound that's connected with it. So that's another way you can tell where you're traveling. So meanwhile, as I said, when we're doing this on a daily basis, which is highly recommended, we want to take 30 minutes of time to do this. Right now, I'm going to take everyone through a short contemplation so you can experience the feeling and vibration of the Hue. You can follow along or just listen as you would. And it goes like this. Barak HaBashah, which means may the blessing of be. Srikadoshi?
Yes. I thought you weren't going to come out of the contemplation. Then we'd just spend the rest of the time in peace and quiet.
Sometimes very tempting not to come out of contemplation.
The experience of the contemplation is also very important, because when we close our eyes, we're actually in the spin cycle of spirit, and we have forgotten that over a long period of time, perhaps. And then what we do is we learn that we are spinning immediately. However, we had control of it, so it doesn't make us dizzy or that sort of thing. But what takes place is we learn to be able to see in spirit, which is one of the twin aspects of the eternal senses. The eternal spiritual senses are sight and sound. That means we have the light and the sound current. So as soul, we can actually see and hear eternally. So there's two senses in the higher planes. There's 10 senses in the lower planes, but we're only taught 5 senses in the earth region, when in actuality you have 10 senses in the lower worlds. We don't necessarily have to go into those other 5 senses, so I'll leave you in suspense, because we're talking about the higher soul senses of light and sound, sight and sound, which is very exciting to spirit, because they think, well, when people pass away, they're oblivious and they don't experience anything, and that's not true. Eternally, we have sight and sound, and that's a very beautiful thing and very exciting to soul to remember that or be reminded of that. That's my responsibility, excuse me, as a living Sarosha master, to remind soul of what it's forgotten over many past lives. That's what the spiritual master does. The traveler teaches people how to move and to remember how to do it. And that's the mirror of their experience with the master. And therefore, the excitement of the sound current also couples with the idea of the eternal senses of sight and sound. It's very, very important because people do not lose that eternally, see? And that's something we know anyway. But reminding of it really helps a great deal because people think they're at a great loss when they come into the physical embodiment. They think they've lost everything, and sometimes they are lost, but within them they have this knowingness that reconnects often with the teacher, and that's what takes place with the ready soul. They connect with the teacher, and they actually come home to their once master of the past, which is really their own master within. As Leslie said, we're not teaching people to be followers. We're teaching them to be their individual master once again. Because it has happened historically, but many, 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 many lifetimes ago. And that's kind of a paradox in a sense, which would take a long time for explanation. We'll go into it maybe some other time. But I think we're getting down towards the end, aren't we? Pretty close.
Well, we have about 4 minutes left, but I would like to mention that we have a series, an ongoing series of talks in which you'll be able to meet Sri Kadarji if you're going to be in the Philadelphia area Tuesday, September 13th, so a week from this coming Tuesday. And it's a grand opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to meet Sri Kadarji because he doesn't do that many talks. So it's wonderful to have this chance to do so. And we'll be talking about a spiritual attainment, and that's very, very important subject. So if you're in the Philadelphia area on Tuesday, September 13th, it's 6:30. It's at the Central Library, the Philadelphia Central Library at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. And this information is on our website, acta.org. Now, the talk will be given in room 108, and there's no charge for the talk, just as we do not charge for anything on this path, whether it is membership or the books or seminars. Everything is with no charge. So if you're somewhere where you can get to that talk, it will be at 6:30, Tuesday, September 13th, in Philadelphia Central Library, in room 108, and the library is at 1901 Vine. But please look at our website, acta.com, to be able to see the information because it is on there. And also you will see that there's free books that you can download. There's a wonderful introductory book by Sri Kadarji where you can learn some of not just the fundamentals, but really some very, very deep information on this path. So it would be a wonderful place if you're interested to get more information. It's a wonderful place to start. And there's also other books as well. And additionally, there are audios of Sri Kadarji on the website. So feel free to access any of that. As I said, there's no charge for it to do any of that. And also, I wanted to mention some of you have been listening for a long time. If you're interested in seeking membership, as we said before, there's no charge for that, but you can certainly fill out your application online, and then you're able to join the path. There is no charge for that, but you will be a member, and once you join the path, then you are going to have the ability to work towards the goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And you will have the opportunity of, after being a second initiate, never having to come back to reincarnate in the physical plane if you want to get off the wheel of 84 and never do that again. So I just wanted to mention all that to everyone. And we've got about 40 seconds left, so I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's always a great pleasure to do this show, and it's particularly a great honor to be able to hear you, Sri Kadarji, each Saturday evening when we give this show, because you give us so much with everything that you say. And with about 20 seconds, I want to leave it to you, Sri Kadarji, to say good evening.
The living source master raises his right hand, palm facing out, and says, I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak Bashad.